jump up, let's get crazy. Jump up, let's get crazy. Welcome to the Round 9 Supercoach Coach Podcast, and this week I'm joined by Bryce. Welcome back, mate.
We're back again. This wasn't as smooth as the first run. Yeah, unfortunately, I'm not holding it up in victory, but yeah, good to be on the show with Dunny after a showdown. I think we did this last year as well after a showdown, and it wasn't a good result back then, but enjoyed the first half. Fortunately, didn't get a win, but it's good to be back on the show with you, gent. Thanks for having me.
So welcome back as well, Dunny.
Thanks for having me back, mate, and always good to be on after a showdown win. Always nice to see the Prison Bar Guernsey get a run, even if it is only in the change rooms. But good weekend was had at the game. Sorry to everyone if you can't see me. We're having a bit of technical issues on my end, so hopefully I'll get that sorted out for next time. But it's probably your bonus that you can't see me, so it's all good.
So we've got a slightly different format for this week's Around the Ground. And we're going to start with our score and our rank as per usual, but then just go into a favorite Supercoach result and least favorite Supercoach result / score from the weekend. And might throw to you, Bryce, to kick us off with the new formats. How'd you go on the weekend?
Right. Hopefully I can do it some justice, Marcus. I scored 22.36 this week, which I was reasonably happy with until I heard some of the scores on the podcast. So I know why you brought us on the show now, Marcus. happy enough to be climbing the ranks a couple of weeks in a row now. So up to 5.5K. So looking forward to making that surge from just outside 5K and hopefully get towards the 1K goal by the end of the season or maybe after the buys. My worst moment is probably just came just after the weekend. We just had news come through with Shai Bolton being injured with a wrist injury in a nightclub fight, trying to break some things up in there. So 2 to 3 week injury, not what you want in first week in your team. So big down point for me this week. But luckily Titch has been in my side for a few weeks and finally returned. A nice score of, 147. And that really saved my week and helped me go up. How about you, Dunny?
2-1-1-1 this week. Can't believe the 1 week you get me on, I've had a poor score. The last couple of weeks, I've been smashing it okay. Ranking is about 9,700. So I dropped about 1,700 this week, which sucked a bit. Person I'm disliking a lot is Zach Williams. He's absolutely killing me, but real happy over the last few weeks that I did start with the old set and forget Max and Brody. So that's probably been my highlight so far, is not having to worry about all these Flynn, Tracy, and whoever else you guys are running with in the rucks these days. That's been probably my favorite part of the season, is not having the ruck roundabout.
Yeah, I can't believe Mark FB Donkey traded Mumford in for Gorn on the weekend, which surprisingly worked out okay after week one, but that was pretty insane.
Huge move.
He's prone to the odd loose move here or there, Mark, in the hunt for glory. So sometimes it ends in a pool of tears, like Brandon Matera from a few years ago. So I hope this works out a little bit better for him. Last week we were even, and this week he beat me by 1 point. So a bit upset about that, but happy with the score overall. 22.98 sees me continue to move up. This week's round rank is 15.76th overall. So it's a few weeks in a row up near the pointier end from a round rank wise. And that moves me now into 7,267. So much better than only a few weeks ago when I was at the 20K mark and spent a couple of weeks there. So happy days for the team. Definitely coinciding with Jack McRae and Max Gorn having a couple of quieter weeks. My favorite score from the week was Tom Mitchell, 147. Yeah, same as you, Bryce. Yeah, we were more than over waiting for that. He had like 38 disposals, so it could have been even bigger, but thank the Lord. It wasn't the 120, it wasn't 147. So happy with that. He moves up a little bit. He's still 75K cheaper than where I bought him at, but we will survive. At least coaches that are thinking about bringing him in have to pay a little bit more. He was trending for under 500K for a while there, which would have been pretty painful. At least favorite result from the weekend probably actually has to be Patrick Cripps with his 72. It's three scores under 80. Just absolutely infuriating. He actually looked pretty good in the first half. Then when the game was on the line, the captain was nowhere to be found. And not only that, he gave away a few free kicks in the second half. So extremely frustrating. And he got a goal when the game was iced, and that wasn't worth much. So very disappointing. You'd be pretty upset if you're a Carlton supporter. The only thing that's keeping me going on Cripps is like I'm a Supercoach owner, but he could be your club captain. And boy, the vitriol for that guy is pretty heavy. And I know he's carried the team for a while, so can't be seen as pretty harsh. But 15 disposals, 2 in the last quarter of a tight game. Like, you need more from your leaders than that, don't you? Dropped to 420K, which is exceptionally painful. We got a few questions about him, but, I mean, if you've got Cripps, like, you don't want to sell him now, right? Like, that's pretty awful. He's averaged 82 for you, dropped 100K. I'm going to try and
sign 83. So he's scoring at what he's averaged. So he's looking at the buy, I guess.
Yeah, side swap him around the buy. He's got around 13 buy. You see how side swap into around 12. At least you dodge a donut that way. The only other exception to that is if you want to pick up, you know, a Gorn or Walt McRae type and you don't have any other way to get to that cash, but you want a must have. Pretty closely behind Cripps, though, is James Rowe. And I'm sure a lot of people would have been frustrated by James Rowe scoring 81 after most of us traded him out, which is, such is life.
Early goals are worth a lot of points, apparently.
In a year where we're looking to extract money out of rookies and people have held Rowe probably felt like they've been a bit patient with him, and same week he's a huge trade-out target. He scores 81 in the showdown.
It's going to happen this week as well when you trade out Warner or trade out Gordon. Don't look back.
Do not look back. Yes, we'll just have a quick call out of our top Patreon for the week and then we'll move forward to questions. So top scorer for the week overall is Travis's team, styling and profiling still, 2177. He's at 188th still, leading our Patreon group. And top scorer for the week was Super Lucas with his score of 2428. Huge. Pushed him up into the 10K mark. So huge for him as well. You've got a couple of shout-outs as well, Bryce?
Yeah, a couple of long-time listeners and close friends through Twitter, Damien Maher and Emily Chalice, otherwise known as Supercoach Mama. I'm sure people have noticed her if you're on Twitter. They're both sitting in the top 10 at the moment. Damien's been there for a few weeks and he's in 7th, and Emily's in 10th. So, yeah, shout-out to them and hope they continue to push up and cement themselves into the top 10, and I'll be cheering for you.
Plenty of podcast questions over the years, so definitely very happy to see. And I think she made an appearance on the Supercoach official podcast as well, so that was very cool to see. Well done to both of them. All right, this week we are going to tackle a few questions around downgrades. A lot of people thinking about double downgrading this week, so a huge topic. And then the late question that we got, Shai Bolton. You can express your frustration here as the intro, Bryce.
Well, yeah, I did a bit in the intro. So it looks like he's out 2 to 3 weeks as reported. On the borderline, I think, of whether to trade or hold. Very fresh. Didn't think I'd have something like this to deal with this week. Usually an injury comes in a game and you're prepared for it for a podcast. Yeah. But yeah, it was brutal this afternoon with news coming through of multiple injuries. I'm not sure how Supercoach relevant Jaden Stevenson is, and you had Jake Stringer as well. So I guess there's a few forward line injuries that people might be looking to deal with this week. For this one in particular, I mean, Shai Bolton, probably brought him in as someone I wanted to keep for the whole season, was someone that I thought was less injury prone than other options, was up and coming in the Tigers side, right age profile. So yeah, someone I was not looking to use as a stepping stone, looking as a keeper. So that probably changes things a little bit as to the considerations of whether to trade or hold. 2 to 3 weeks, if it's 2 weeks, I'd probably prefer to upgrade around him, continue that upgrade cadence, and then welcome him back into the side around the buys. 3 weeks gets a little bit trickier. If I was new as 3 weeks, I'd probably consider trading him. But yeah, with injuries, you're never quite sure whether it's going to be exactly 2 or 3 weeks, whether it's going to linger around when they come back. But yeah, default position at this stage is to be holding him, upgrading around him, hopefully playing my rookies on the field. If I'm looking at some donuts, yeah, that's going to be a little bit harder. Danny or Marcus, you don't have Bolton, but what would you think of doing in this situation?
I think I agree with what you're saying there, mate. I would probably trade around him if it's only a couple of weeks. If it's pushing 3 to 4 weeks, yeah, it'd probably become a little bit tougher to hold, but hopefully it's only the two. I've got him in a draft league, so I'm really hoping it's only two because he's been smashing it for me. This is, you know, unlike a lot of the other injuries we've had this year, which have all been long term, this is one we can probably live with because, you know, just the scoring pattern he's been on, definitely worth keeping if you can.
So, a consideration I'd like to throw in is where his buy is. So round 13 buy. Now, does that tempt the coaches, if the wrist is borderline, to just say, why not wait for the bye, get an extra week in, make sure you're cherry ripe for the rest of the season. I mean, they're a club that certainly can just show up for the finals and still have a pretty good crack. So going to miss round 9, round 10, 2 weeks potentially, get back for round 11. If it's only 2 weeks, I guess is probably more likely to work out okay. But I just wonder if it ends up being 3, where it's like borderline, if he has to play a little bit sore, do they just go, yeah, just wait the extra week? Worried about that at all? Or is that sort of, he'll play when he's fresh and that might not play too much into it and I'm overthinking it? What do you reckon?
And if he was out, say, the 3 weeks, that's round 9, 10, 11. Round 12, I guess you're proposing if he was going to miss that, what would I do in that situation? Or at least consider that in my thinking. For me, I've actually got a good round 12 structure, so I could actually afford to have him on the bench. I've got 21 players, touch wood, a fair number of primos and rookies that are playing. So for me, that would be okay. So in my situation, I would probably still hold if there was murmurings about, yeah, we'll just hold him out to the buys. But for others, I guess, who had a harder buy structure and missing players in round 12, you might be stronger in trading him if you thought he might be out for that fourth week as far as his injury is concerned.
So that's interesting, right? Because you're saying even if the potential is there for 4 weeks, the impact's almost lessened that fourth week because you've got a good buy structure and you're only going to have to play 18 anyway. So that's an interesting one. What do you reckon, Dunny? Does that affect your thinking at all if it might extend to a fourth?
But I think the one thing that is probably going in favour of them bringing him back sooner rather than later is the fact that they are sitting, if I'm not mistaken, 4-4 at the moment, which is not really where they'd like to be. So I think if they drop another one in the next 1 or 2 weeks, they'll be starting to think, geez, we need to get this guy back in sooner rather than later.
They're a little bit diminished as well in the midfield as far as the number of stars which are out. So, yeah, maybe there's more inclination to bring him back as soon as he's ready to play or wants to play. And he seems like a guy who really wants to play and get out there and perform.
Be pretty tempted to hold him just with the amount of injuries this year.
Yeah.
Definitely not ideal, but it's more, I think, the injury situation that's driving me toward that. Otherwise, I'd be pretty tempted to move him just because I know a lot of teams are struggling with cash generation this year, which means that maintaining an upgrade cadence week in, week out is actually a bit of a challenge because you probably will run out of steam. I think a lot of teams are looking at that. So faced with that this year, I think the necessity to maintain cadence is potentially lesser than in previous years. And arguably, it's more about squeezing the most out of your rookies and trying to hit the right players more so than it is trying to make sure that you maintain cadence, because I think we will all have a bit of sort of wind coming out of our sails at some stage and we'll have to make a compromise somewhere. So that's potentially a reason that says, okay, maybe a side swap this week's not the end of the world, but just the injuries also probably have me leaning toward holding. He was looking really good too this last week and playing obviously more center bounces the last few weeks. He's a player that you'd be pretty happy to have before all this went down, so pretty bad luck there. All right, on to the next question. This one is from Alistair Campbell, and he's asking about thoughts on a double downgrade this week. Considering there are not many potential great downgrade targets next week. And I think the two that probably stand out, RCD, Riley Collier-Dawkins, and probably didn't have the best game, but still had 6 tackles. Across the board, I guess there'd be a few disappointing performances at Richmond, and you'd think Shai Bolton going down wouldn't do him any hurt either. I suggest he's probably going to keep his spot, and I'd suggest he's probably a pretty good target. He's from that sweet 2018 draft, pick 26. I went early on him last week thinking that Poulter might be a good call this week, depending on how he scored. And he's the other candidate. He scored 81 for Collingwood. They're obviously blooding a few rookies. He's mid-forward, 117,000. So top of the list are those two. You obviously have RCD as well, as you mentioned, Bryce, which means that you don't have to look at a double down. Is there any other players that you would consider doing the double down for, or are you looking at one up, one down because you have one of these two guys?
So in my situation, I've got 3K in the bank. So even with a one up, one down, I'm probably not going to reach an upgrade target. So I'm considering a double downgrade this week, even with RCD, and whether there's another player worth grabbing because there's not many on the horizon. So Ryan Burns is another one that's on the radar, has played two games. He scored 52 and 62. That's one that I'd be considering, so keen on thoughts on him. Just with RCD, if you wanted to prioritise him and Poulter, one thing that Richmond has is injuries in the midfield. So you've got Shai Bolton and Cochin are out at the moment, and they're big CBA attendance getters. And the other one is Shane Edwards, who just got injured on the weekend, and Prestia is still maybe a few weeks. So they're actually down in stock in the midfield, so that probably gives RCD some reasonable job security. Didn't score that well in his second game. He only scored a 43, but yeah, seems to have role and job security and has the potential to score as well. So I'd probably put him slightly ahead of Poulter as if you needed to prioritise.
Yeah, so I also went early on RCD, mainly because I needed some cash and a downgrade last week, and there wasn't too much that I was interested in getting other than him. But yeah, looking at this week, I don't mind Poulter. Byrne, you asked about there, a 62 and a 57. Hopefully the Saints are on the march. My concern with the Saints this year after the Highmore debacle that I think most of us have bought into this year is just that job security. I did hear circling today that that Lachie Jones may not be too far away from a return as well. Those who haven't gone on him yet, like me, certainly be looking at that when he comes back.
That is a great news on Lachie Jones. My Highmore Jones combination is bound to bite at some stage. Nice part about Burns is plays rotations in the middle, but I don't think he starts in center bounces. So that's probably the only thing, I guess. He's drafted as an inside mid, but it just probably won't happen for a little bit.
I guess the thing that I'm thinking about is whether to grab Burns this week in a double downgrade, because there's a good batch and he might be a good one to hold through to Bides if he has good enough job security, or do I hold out for rookies that might come or might not come and might not be as good as him? The ones on the horizon, Luke Foley had a debut, Buku Kamis, I've butchered that. Guy from...
The Bulldogs, Buku.
Buku, yeah, we'll just go with Buku. Scored a 39, he's a defender. You've got Patrick Naish, who was a midfielder, 180k. He scored a 5 and a 1 in his first two games. He must have been the sub both times. So he'll drop in cash before he might go up again. So he might be a future one to look at after he's dropped. Richmond have got injuries. So maybe there is something on the horizon there, so I don't need to double downgrade and get Burns. But, yeah, something I'll think about during the week.
I don't hate the double down this week, especially if it means that your one up, one down results in you taking a compromised player you otherwise wouldn't. I think if you don't have RCD, then RCD Poulter seems quite obvious. But if you did go early, the double down maybe isn't as necessary. I don't think Burns is somebody I'd force a double down for. Whereas the flexibility of a mid-forward that's playing for a team that wants the blood rookies and Richmond rookie who should still play in a reasonable amount of wins, is getting some CBAs, is pretty talented, some midfield injuries. I think both of them are clear standouts. How about Owies? I don't know how you're supposed to pronounce it, but Owies sounds awesome. Yeah. He's a former basketballer who is now trying to apply his craft in AFL. He's a small forward playing for Carlton. That's not necessarily the best spot on ground either. Probably not a guy that particularly screams out, but if you're looking for a downgrade in your forward line and you already have Poulter, or you're considering a double down, but he's not necessarily a guy I would force in at this stage.
There's Harry Edwards as well, who's a West Coast defender. Don't know too much about him. He scored 61 and 43. He's 124K. Martin Frederick ended up playing as the medical substitute, so we all had him lined up in our sides, and then he became the medical substitute. So there's one more little sneaky one in the ruck, 124K, Jordan Sweet from the Bulldogs. So I think that Steph Martin's been having some Achilles issues and missed the game last week, so Sweet was into the ruck. But you've got English returning, and you've got Martin potentially coming back at any stage for injury, and whether he gets a run of games, I'm not sure. But he scored pretty well, so if you're looking for a ruck position for some reason, maybe you're downgrading a rookie in the forward line and you've got Treacy or someone at R3 and you want to get a cash-generating ruckman in there, he might be someone that you bring in. So something to think about if you're in that situation.
Next question. This one's from Andy H. Is this the year Aaron Hall finally keeps it up? 6 as a medical sub, 37 was injury affected, but the rest have been pretty good scores. And I know he was talked up a little bit in other fantasy circles, both Supercoach and AFL alike. Obviously, has previously averaged really well playing out of the midfield, but this year is playing as a halfback, certainly racking up the ball as well. I think a couple of 30-plus games in the last 2 weeks, including a 37. Price is still pretty good, though, because of those poor scores, and so definitely continues to offer up value. And we've been talking about the forward line being a bit of a struggle in terms of 6 true top-end premiums. If you're looking to upgrade or potentially even side-swap Shai Bolton, does Aaron Hall come into it? Or overall, injury's still got to be an ongoing concern with him. He has not been proven reliable previously. What do you reckon, Dunny?
Yeah, I think you're right, mate. The injury cloud is a concern. Look, I brought him in AFL Fantasy last week. You know, that's a game where I don't have to worry too much about trades and where, you know, obviously you've got the 2 trades a week. And his scoring certainly looks good. If you take out that 37, yeah, you've got a 133, a 106 and a 113. But it is just that injury spectre hanging over his head and the fact that he plays for North Melbourne, who more weeks than not at the moment are going to get smashed, which means not so much of the pie is going to head their direction.
Yeah, definitely. It's not the type of pick I like to go for. I guess there's still some uncertainty around role. Like, he's playing well at the moment off halfback. Is that going to change as kind of North Melbourne change things up? He seems to be scoring well at the moment with Zeebel down there. But, yeah, he's one that seems to get injured every year, doesn't complete seasons. If you're low on trades, you don't want to have to use another trade in the kind of back end of the season to trade him out for a 2 to 3 week injury. So then you're forced to hold. And he's priced at 83.3 point, but it's not like super cheap. So if he was maybe priced at 70, maybe that changes it a bit. For 19k, he's okay value, but not someone I'd probably want to take on that risk at. So he's probably below my risk threshold, and running low on trades, it's probably not one for me.
Yeah, I agree with that. I looked at him and thought maybe for cheaper, it might be worth the injury risk. But to your point, when you're considering his price point and his upside, you know, if you think he's a 500K player, that's only 80K worth of value to risk. He's not played full season. He's not played as a full premium for a whole season. So it's just too much risk for the cost that you're paying. And that doesn't mean he doesn't work out. If you feel really strongly about him, go for it. But it's more that I think you have to get a bit lucky for those things to work out, because history suggests that the risks are not worth it. Next question from Matthew Donnelly. I think this one's a closer one. Is Dugowie the definition of ultimate risk v reward this week? You know, this is what we're more talking about. If you're going to take a crazy risk, take a crazy risk on a guy who's under 300K, 296K. Now, he's around 14 buy player, which is definitely the most painful buy, so it's something that you have to consider. But he had 51, 48, 4, and 52 in a stretch before his latest 118 game. 6 goals and looked pretty good.
Who they play? That's probably Melbourne.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the... That's the concern for me too. It took him those 6 goals to get that score. And if you look at his run coming up, he's got Sydney at the SCG, Port Adelaide at the MCG, Geelong at the MCG. Then he gets Adelaide Oval, then Melbourne at the MCG all before his bye. So he's really got 4 pretty tough games. And then, sorry, Bryce, but Adelaide is probably the easier of those 5 before his bye. You got to look at it and say, well, Collingwood haven't had a great season. If you look at his other scores, he went poorly against the Bulldogs and against Brisbane and against the Giants and even the Gold Coast.
So he's injury prone too, right? Yeah.
You're bringing injury risk there as well. Ask Mark whether he'd bring him in at that price. You'd probably get a pretty accurate answer. It's not something that I'd go for sure. I was looking at Heaney as a similar option at the similar price. But yeah, again, forward playing in a potentially bad team, injury prone. You're probably bringing on too much risk even at that price.
Next question is from Chris Lund. He was looking at bringing in Ridley, but he still has a high break even, I think 119. And he's had 2 scores under 90. Is he still a good trade-in target? So a couple of questions at least about Ridley. Do I wait another week? Even though he's clearly good value this week, right? And he has the capability to score 120. There's nothing wrong inherently when you look at him and saying, bring him in this week. He was my planned trade-in this week.
Same for me. Yeah.
Are you an owner, Bryce?
I am an owner and don't like his price creeping down below 500K, but yeah, good for everyone else in the community. I mean, his break even's at 119, so you can afford to wait another week if you're not sure. But also, I think fine to bring him in at this price. I mean, his price at 97, so you'd expect that he's going to average that for the rest of the season based on his early season form. I guess one of the concerns is coming back from concussion. Has that affected him at all? His kick-ins have probably gone down. He used to have a bit of a monopoly back there, but that's dropped. He was up around almost every kick-in for the first 5 weeks. And now since he's come back, he's been sharing it with Heppel, and Redmond was the latest one to steal kick-ins back there. So he's only 27% kick-ins in the last game. I think that I'd be pretty comfortable bringing him in either this week or next week. And yeah, I expect him to go back for scoring about 100 from here.
Yeah, his next two games, he's got Frio and North both at Marvel Stadium. I guess the only question is the ball going to be down his end? And often enough, they do like it in his hands, rebounding off that back line. So he'd be pretty safe. I'm 50-50 at the moment on whether I bring him in or do a double downgrade and wait one more week to get him. But yeah, he's the last piece that I'm looking to put into my back line, pending a Zach Williams trade out.
Yeah, I don't mind waiting just because, you know, we are talking about squeezing the most out of our players on the way in and out. And so considering their poor downgrade options next week relative to this week, going the double down this week and waiting for Ridley another week doesn't seem like it would hurt too bad. I am likely to bring in Ridley this week just because I can hit him with a one up, one down, and I already picked the RCD up. So, but whether or not you wait 1 week or go with him, he's clearly a top six defender, even though his last two haven't been great. His concussion isn't really a reason to drop off in scoring, so there's nothing really structurally that would worry you. Essendon are playing all right football, but we'll still get plenty of points kicked against them, and he'll get plenty of free ball that way. So one of those unique players that gets rebounds, kicks long, and takes the kick ins. Nothing wrong with him as a selection. I wouldn't be worried about him struggling. If your 280s are your downside, that's pretty good. All right, last question. This one's from James Cropp from Facebook. Zach Williams, is there any reason in the world to keep him?
No.
Sorry to do this to you, Dunny.
I just keep telling myself he can't get any worse, and then he does. I must admit, I had to look a couple of times. I was out and about a bit yesterday when he was playing, and so looked at the score. I thought, oh, yeah, clearly my phone's not refreshing. There must be some sort of problem. And then I thought, hang on, everyone else's scores are going up, so what the hell is he doing? Yeah, look, it's a real tough one. He's dropped in value, which I didn't think was possible because he was cheap to start with. He's down 36K from his starting price, with most of that this week. Break even at 135, so he is going to drop further. Look, to me, though, I really think it's a bit of a luxury trade to get rid of him at the moment. I've sort of got to roll the dice on Williams and just keep him in the side. So from that perspective, look, there is a reason to keep Williams, and that is you've probably got bigger problems than him. We've seen in the preseason that he can do it. He's got the scoring potential there. I don't know whether it's just that he's just not meshing. I think something I have heard a couple of times in the last week is that he is definitely carrying injury. He keeps missing with soreness, missing with something else. Yeah. Just come out and tell us that he's injured. I think that's the problem. So if he can get that right, he should be able to score, you know, in the 70s, 80s, 90s, even 100s. So I don't know. Long-winded answer, but my initial reaction is no, don't keep him, but that's just the old knee-jerk. I think there are bigger problems in my team and probably everyone else's as well.
Yeah, I think Williams has averaged 100-plus playing in the midfield for GWS before.
He has.
So you're right about on the injury front. Fairly similar to Cripper, right? Like round 13 to round 12 player is your exit point if you don't think he's going to turn it around.
I think so. And he's obviously going to drop in value this week, but he should be able to bounce back.
Yeah, if he scores 80, 85, he's going to maintain his price. So the next few weeks he bangs out, scores around that, then you're not going to lose anything by holding
him. Mate, I'll be cheering if that happens.
Well, I mean, outside his 27, he's averaging 85. So yeah. 78, 86, 88, 89. So it hasn't been terrible. It's just the games that he's missing has probably hurt the most. I mean, given backline rookies. I just brought up a quote from David Teague from during the week. He said he hurt something today. I don't think it was bad. The message up the line was he was okay. I don't even know what part of the body it was. So that quote concerns me a lot, and I would be running away as soon as I could. If you're trading him this week or you're holding him to the buys, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Or I think if he gets injured again.
Yeah, I think holding him to the buys is probably the right answer unless you've got no major rookie problems on field.
I'd say maybe the other thing to consider is if he is your D6 already and you don't have Jordan Ridley, paying 70K to upgrade him to Ridley seems pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And I think you've made the point about this before, Bryce, is that sometimes it's not just the guy you trade out, but if it's a guy that you can trade in at good value, I guess that's value too. And so if you're already full up, you don't have another way to bring in Ridley, he's certainly a potential way to get onto some good value, and that may be an excuse to trade him out early this week. I don't think I'd do it for a Stephen May type who's not played a full season before and has some question marks.
Yeah.
But somebody like Ridley seems like a guy that you'd be happy enough to do that on. You wouldn't want to pay to go all the way to Jake Lloyd, for example, but when there's value presenting, I don't hate that, especially in the context of teams not potentially being able to maintain upgrade cadence throughout the year.
I guess the other option is if you want to create some capital, you could actually go down from him to one of the options around the 350K mark. And I know there's a couple that come up in questions in the community this week, and those options are James, Harms and Darcy Moore. Harms is 344 and Moore is 365. So that's the other option if you don't think he's going to be scoring very well and you want to go down to a guy you think can average up towards a primo numbers. That might be one way to create money and fix a problem as well. But I'm not sure about those options yet. I haven't really fully considered them, not being a Zach Williams owner, but yeah, something you can throw into the mix to consider this week.
So we got a question about Harms on Patreon, but I think we'll wrap it up because we've recorded for a little while, and I know Bryce needs to get some food into him as well, so we won't make him wait too much longer. So let's just finish on a captain's corner, if you don't mind, gentlemen. Who are you looking at in terms of a captain this week? Last week, Grundy was a pretty good one, has been for a couple of weeks now, and Gorn, with the drops in center bounces, with Ben Brown in play is certainly concerning. He's not the same auto lock anymore, which makes our captain's corner a little bit more interesting. And McRae with a couple of games under 110. What do you reckon, Bryce? Have you had a bit of a look? Anybody that you're thinking about?
So unfortunately, Gorn's playing later again this round, so it'd be good to have Gorn. He's no longer that safe captain option, so he's probably going to be off the list for me this week. So I see Brodie Grundy's got a Saturday early game, so he seems like a pretty good vice-captain option. And McRae plays Saturday night versus Port Adelaide. They usually like to VC the guy I think is going to score the most. Grundy's against Sydney.
So Grundy's last three against Sydney, sorry to cut in, 147, 165, 167. Yeah.
So that's where I'm heading.
And my captain will be Tyler Brockman.
If I have you can't do that. They're playing at the same time.
Paddy Dow, yeah. No, the other option I probably as a backup is Clayton Oliver versus Carlton. I guess you've got the current bag, but yeah. Grundy, vice-captain, all the way.
I'll be vice-captaining Grundy against the Swans, particularly now after hearing that. But other one that I'll be would consider if I needed to use him was potentially Zach Merritt against the Dockers at Marvel Stadium. Merritt seems to like Marvel and put up a 131 last week. He'd certainly be one that I'd look at. Don't mind your Oliver pick.
I think Grundy into McRae is probably the top option. I would go with Gorn versus Pitney's not too far outside of that. I'm going to throw a couple more out. Bontempelli, he really likes playing Port. 114, 130, 129, his last few. He's probably one of his more favourite opponents is Bontempelli, and he's in pretty decent nick at the moment.
Too bad Mitchell is playing at the same time as Grundy, otherwise that would have been a nice one. They're playing North Melbourne this week, so if you wanted to go an alternate VC, that might be a good shout.
All right. Thank you, gents, for your time and another fun show. It's great to have you on board. Fortunate timing with the showdown to have you both on post that game, and wishing you all the best with a bit better luck.
Thanks for having me on. It's always good to be on with Danny after a showdown.
Yeah. And if you're not following Bryce, The analysis you've been doing, yeah. Bryce, has been top-notch. I know every week when I look at my trade-in options in the back line, in the midfield, the first place I go to are your spreadsheets. You've been doing trended analysis over the few rounds, so you don't just get a view on how a player is going just in that 1 week, but you sort of see whether or not they're tailing up and down. And when you see different players in and out and how that affects the mix, seeing that all side-by-side is certainly a huge part of my decision-making. So thank you to you for that service. I know I'm enjoying it, and I'm sure the rest of the community are too.
Thanks for having me on. I would just echo Marcus's comments there on Bryce's work. He puts in a power of work for the community, and the analysis is fantastic. Good luck, everyone, for this week, and hopefully no forced trades next week, and we can get back on that downgrade cadence.
And while we're at plugs, I think I retweeted one of your questions for the Friday scrambles. If you didn't know that and you're into your AFL fantasy, Dunny does great work with the Friday scramble on DT Talk, so you can check that out as well. All right, thanks. Awesome. See you next week. Good luck, community.
Thank you.
See
you,
everyone. Thank you, guys.